This may be short-lived.
Oh?
I just had a flash of lightning that lit up my entire yard.
And we're streaming. Hey, I got thunder here, too.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I could see Weird having thunder, because he's, like, 20 minutes from here.
I haven't heard anything yet, but then again, I'm also down at the armory.
Yeah, if you start hearing it, there's problems.
What the fuck was that?
What the hell is that?
Are they invading?
That's NSA breaking in.
Is this real life?
No.
None of us have real lives.
Are we going to start? That.
Yes, we're starting. We're on.
We're already recording.
Oh.
It's live. We're doing
Hello.
It.
Hello.
This is live,
fuck
not memory.
We'll do it live.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Spin the copter.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, hang on. I got something here. It's time for the Squirrel Report. Friday, June 8th, 2012.
You like that every single time.
I do.
It's a fun little duty-free ditty.
You'll have to pardon me. I'm a little on the sick side here.
Yeah, how are you feeling, Alan?
Sick, are you taking cough medicine, Alan?
No, I'm not.
Are you taking bath salts, Alan?
I'm doing the Skittles and
Skittles and Robitussin.
Yeah.
So, how was everyone's week?
Shitty.
Woohoo!
Okay. Do we all have shitty weeks?
I had an interesting week.
Well, I know what one thing that happened this week.
No, that's right. I have to tell you that on Monday I had spontaneous, unstoppable bleeding while I was at work. It was the most bizarre thing ever.
It means you're not pregnant.
No, not that. Oh my God.
Wow. Remember, better late than pregnant.
No, I scratched my arm and apparently I had this thing where there's like a blood vessel near the surface of your skin. And I scratched it, and, like, at work, I was bleeding out from, like, a pinhole in my arm. It was freaking bizarre. And then, of course, we have, like, a new library director who now thinks I'm a complete freak. Thank you very much.
She's right.
I know, but, you know, I try to keep that.
She says on the Squirrel Report.
I keep that, try to keep that on the down low.
By the way, Brita, alcohol, isopropyl alcohol.
Put what?
Direct pressure and isopropyl alcohol, and it'll cauterize the vein.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Next time. Next thing.
Also
I use that bucket. Because I like to cut my hangnails at work, and I've got very sharp knives.
Okay.
And sometimes go a bit
you
too
just
far.
Admitted to cutting himself.
I have a LiveJournal account. I'm allowed to.
I think I still do, too. So, but it was bizarre. My arm was bleeding from a pinhole for like 10 minutes. I must have lost like at least a quarter cup of blood. And I'm standing there in the break room with blood dripping off my arm. I'm like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, you know, but after a while, it's fine.
You missed your perfect opportunity. You should have looked right at the laboratory director, the library director and gone, brain!
No, yeah. you should have said I'm having a very heavy flow. May I go home?
From my arm. Yeah.
Don't have to specify where. Don't ask, don't tell.
There's blood everywhere. You know, it was just, it was ridiculous. And of course, that was Monday, like the day before my birthday. So I felt like, okay, I'm turning 38, and I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
Rita lies about her age.
No, I'm 38,
no,
which kind of shocks me too. You know.
Yeah. Anyone? I've seen pictures of you.
No.
You've met me in person.
There's no way.
Yeah, but I've also seen pictures of you.
Oh. Okay.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone, Weird.
Anyway. So,
hey,
yeah.
That llama birthday. Was consenting.
The yeah. llama was really you know, hot. The llama.
Carl! Carl! I got a rumbly in my tumbly. Oh, you'd be filled by hands.
We went to the zoo the other weekend. Mrs. Weird saw the llama, and all she could think of was, Carl! But she didn't want to tell anyone because she knew that I'd start doing it.
I hate that movie. I hate that movie.
Stupid. The kid, I showed it to my kid. They thought it was hysterical.
I wanted to punch everybody in that movie in the face.
Movie
it was just TV? Like, I felt like, I was like, I want my 2 hours back. I hate everybody in this movie.
Wait, what
we're talking about different talking things. About?
What?
What are you talking about, Brita?
The freaking nerd movie with the llama. What was it?
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah, that's
yes! Is that where not where we're talking about?
No, we're talking about llamas with hats.
Yep. Oh, whatever. Okay.
Which is completely different than Napoleon Dynamite. See, I wouldn't
it really isn't.
You haven't even seen it.
I don't care. I'd hate it. I would hate it too.
No, you're supposed to see it and love it. I'm posting it in chat.
Carl. I am not clicking any links.
Carl.
That
you...
Nope.
What did you do, Carl?
Whatever.
Well, there are some other links. Like, there's a really good video on E-Fucked right now. They just did a really good job with the soundtrack.
See, this is the problem I run into when people start bringing up movie items or, you know, that sort of thing. Because I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't remember any movie or any visual thing. Anyway.
Anything I've ever seen ever in the entire history of the
universe. It goes in one eye and out the other eye or, you know, whatever the...
Right at the back of your head.
It's something. Yeah.
It's like a human projector in reverse.
Really, it is.
You fucked the movie? The Return of Gentle Breakdown Girl?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. What is the topic for this evening, by the way, guys?
Oh.
Happy birthday to Brita! She lies about her age!
Awesome.
She's got only one leg, and that's enough. In the library.
Shanks, hobos.
Oh, my God.
Stuntman sucks. All right, that's all I got.
You're crying.
Well, that was pretty obnoxious. I can't wait to listen to that on replay.
What is it? Sitting at the computer desk.
With bad intent.
Hand is going down his pants.
Yeah. Actually, I have an awesome birthday story. Can I share?
Please.
Yes.
Are we sharing tonight? Because I have something to share.
We're not only sharing, we're oversharing.
Yeah, we're about the oversharing.
Well, okay, it's kind of a cool, like, yay the internet story, because we all know the internet is awesome. We all met on the internet, and, you know, here we are now on the internet.
On the internet?
BFFs on the internet.
Right. So, on Facebook, my mother, the day before my birthday, posted the little, the night before Brita was born story.
Yes, I saw that.
And my mom was induced with me. She was, you know, she had labor induced. So she knew I was going to be born on the 5th. So the night of the 4th, she went to, she was out with my father, and my father asked her, you know, are you hungry? Do you want to get something neat? Because apparently she wasn't allowed to eat after midnight. And she said, yes, I want ice cream.
She turned into a gremlin?
Yes. I do that. So, you know, watch your clock there. Warn me if we get close. But so she and my father stopped at this place in the town I grew up in. It's like the, you know, kind of famous ice cream stand in the town I grew up in. And she got the big banana split with all chocolate ice cream and hot fudge and blah, blah, blah. So, and then the next morning I was born, or next afternoon I was born. But so I saw her post this on Facebook, right? And I said, you know what, Mom, I have never had a banana split.
Oh, wow.
My entire life. Really? I haven't. And so somebody, this guy who's Facebook friends with me, from Montana, sees that I have never had a banana split, and so he decides to call the exact same ice cream stand and order banana splits for me and my mom to have on my birthday.
Oh, that's just awesome.
Cool.
I know. It's really freaking cool.
And creepy.
And slightly creepy. No, he's a really nice guy. He's really super. He's terrific. Actually, he called into one of the previous shows. He's a good guy.
For a stalker.
And so I had my first banana split when I was 38. So, yay.
Yay.
Actually, that was your second.
Tat.
The first was vicarious.
Still You're still attached.
It was filtered.
Voluntary banana split.
Filtered.
Yeah, so there you go.
And so how was it, Frida? What's your feeling of banana splits? I'm not a fan.
Extra nuts, please.
The banana is just extra vitamins.
I don't like bananas. The texture gets me.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
You know what's weird is I cannot stand bananas because of the texture, but I'll eat lima beans all goddamn day long.
I love lima beans.
Me too.
I love lima beans too.
That's weird.
So my mom is in chat, so thank you, Mom, for, you know, putting up with me for 38 years. And
Yay, Brita Mom.
Yay, Brita Mom.
Et cetera. So, that's the birthday story.
We got a caller. You want to take a caller real quick?
Oh, no. Okay. Not my mom, is it?
I don't know who this is. Area code 480.
Okay, it's not.
Definitely not.
Area code 480.
You're on the air, caller.
Hello.
You're not on the air, caller.
Oh, this is Hank.
Hi, Hank.
Hey, Hank.
Hello.
How's my Hank tonight?
So, what are we talking about tonight?
Yeah, we don't know either.
We're talking about banana splits, titties, and beer.
So far, we're talking about Rita's birthday.
No. Okay, let's move on.
And her birthday banana split.
Hank, I'm 38. End of story.
And she lies about her age.
Yeah, there's no way.
You're 38. That makes you kind of a fraction of my age, so... Now, who knows what that means? But I really did appreciate and enjoy your story about the banana split. I mean, you know, like kind of like a day you were born or thereabouts, you had a banana split and haven't had one since.
No, I haven't.
38. So I really enjoyed that story.
Good.
Brita's all set for banana splits until she's 76.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll plan on it. I'll put it in my iPhone calendar. What year is that? I don't even know.
Actually, when I was in my youth, I actually worked for an outfit that made banana splits. And they're like, okay, here's how you make a banana split without touching the banana. And you do this and that and the other, and suddenly you have a banana sitting there in a plate, and you put all the kinds of crap on it, and suddenly you have a banana split that nobody's ever touched.
Oh.
That's actually very heartening.
Yeah, I don't want people manhandling my banana split.
Exactly. And
Alan's,
you know,
the only one who manhandles his banana.
That's right.
Yeah, people know how to do that, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Isn't that the first rule of paramedics? Don't touch any banana but your own.
Kelly on.
Keep your hands off the banana. Okay.
Yeah. So, do we actually have like a gun subject tonight, or am I out in left field here?
Well, we kind of do. We have a number of topics. We wanted, you know, the problem with having the show on Friday is that so much happens during the week, and we kind of are like, rah, 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 we have this topic, and we decide on Wednesday or something, and by Friday it's like the news cycle has turned, and it's over.
Well, next week we'll be doing it on Thursday, so.
Okay, well, maybe we'll catch up at that point. But this week we wanted to talk about the Wisconsin recall election and about how the unions suck. And of course, you know, we've got that all, the whole thing, in the gun blogs. I don't even want to bring it up now because I'm sick of it. The training issue in the gun blogs.
The training llama.
The training
yeah,
llama.
Yeah, the training llama. I have like a theory about the whole thing.
Whip the llama.
And I like, you know, I'm petting the llama. It's a good llama. And I think it's an issue that needs to be brought up. But yeah, we kind of do have topics this week. Alan, jump in anytime.
With what?
You know, you wrote the blog post.
Oh, well, you listed the topics. Okay. I guess, the union suck and fail in the Wisconsin recall election are kind of twisted up into one thing. I mean, we can talk about how unions suck in general, but really the ones at fault here are the you know, the public employee unions, which, you know, it's like an evil, you know, one hand washes the other between the politicians and the unions. You know, the unions elect politicians that give them more money, so the politicians get more money, so they give more money to the union. You know, you get this, you know, feedback loop of graft going.
And then further, the people that actually pay for the whole damn thing are well removed from the process because,
right.
Yeah, if your politician is jacking up the public sector union, you don't like that. Well, you know, the next 2 to 6 year cycle, depending on, you know, who we're talking about, that's when you can try to fire them versus.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, versus, you know, I just bought a new car and I just simply just didn't go to a Chevy dealership. That was easy.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is the minute the state of Wisconsin stopped withholding union dues from paychecks, the union membership dropped by 2/3, like overnight.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So if you're not forcing people to pay for something,
right.
they're not going to pay for it voluntarily.
And what's her name?
Shocker.
Was it Wasserman Schultz that said,
yes,
that basically admitted in an interview that, yeah, unless people are coerced, the Democrats really don't have a they don't have any support unless we coerce it out of people.
Oh yeah,
they don't win unless they cheat.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I've talked to so many teachers who said, "Well, yeah, I'm a member of the union. They buy my health care." Is that they you know, the schools don't supply health care to any of the teachers. That's all supplied by the teachers' union. So they sign up so that they can get their group health care coverage.
Yeah,
they
but the schools are paying for that.
Well, yeah, but they're public school teachers. They're not aware of this.
They're also concept.
They also think they pay sales tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject of unions, the public service union in Wisconsin that was pushing for the recall, which comprises police officers, if I'm not mistaken, arrested a U.S. Marine for holding a sign.
Oh.
Only they didn't arrest him. They just took him into custody and put him in a dark cell.
Nice.
That's not a smart move to do to a Marine.
Yeah, John Rambo. hold on. Let me put a link up in the chat.
Well, anyway, Hank, those are our topics for this evening.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think the whole
not so much gun stuff this evening, but
I'm sure we'll get around to something gunish eventually.
Yeah.
It all somehow relates to guns, so.
That's
all good, but the whole Wisconsin thing is pretty phenomenal. I mean, against all odds, this guy gets in to be the governor, and he straightens things out. And the people that don't like the fact that he straightened things out tried to recall him, and it failed.
Failed catastrophically.
It's really showing that people kind of get a clue that, hey, we have a problem here, and people like the governor are going to fix it for us. And if we vote in these other people that want to go with the status quo, then we have a problem. And you know, throughout history, you watch what happens, and what you see is that countries fail over time because these people take over control. And mm-hmm. I've always thought that there's a good chance that they do that because there's a lack of communication. Now with the internet, I think we have a chance.
That's right.
That's an excellent point.
For once, maybe we can not go through the cycle, because maybe we can get to people and let them understand what's at stake, and maybe
yes.
we can yep. make it all happen for us instead of watching the eventual decline of a society and a nation. And that's what I'm hoping for fervently.
Oh, well, Hank, that's a wonderful
that
point.
That is an excellent point.
This just goes along with what CNN has been having the worst numbers in viewership that they have had in a long time. Newspapers are failing.
Yep. Network news.
Network news is failing. I mean, people are not getting their information anymore from the usual sources.
Nope.
And really, the internet takes out the middleman. And it takes out the middleman in every sort of way, I think. I mean, it takes out from the news, takes it out from shopping. I mean, you can access things person to person now. You know, it's that easy.
Disintermediation.
Right, exactly. And it's terrific.
Yeah, 40 years ago, Walter.
You not wait?
Yeah, that's right. 40 years ago, Walter Cronkite said, that's the way it is. And everybody believed him.
Right.
And he was a lying son of a bitch.
Don't forget Commie.
Yeah, he's also a commie. So, fuck him.
Was that the Tet Offensive that they were lying about?
Oh, among other things, yeah. You know, yeah, if you listen to Walter Cronkite, you'd think the North Vietnamese won the Tet Offensive, and it was the worst defeat they suffered in the whole war. And, nope, it was, you know, that was the end of the war.
Well, thanks to Walter Cronkite, he was right.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Was.
Yeah. So.
And that
thank
changed
you,
American
Hank,
foreign policy.
Yep. That was great, Hank. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, I Hank. Think that's my piece tonight. So continue on. We're going to have a great night tonight.
All right. Thanks.
You bet.
Oops. Cut
excellent.
Him off there. Sorry, Hank.
I'm having like a I love the internet moment.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome?
You know
I love
that,
the internet too. It's where I get
love
my pornography.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But there is an element of power to the people in the internet, and I think we're going to see it more and more. You know, we saw it really last presidential election. It was big time last time, but I think it's gonna change things this time. You know, CNN is not such a big force anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah. So hopefully.
Well, think about how many people are, especially with the new big thing with the Roku and Slingbox and all of these various things of the, I mean, I wake up first thing in the morning, I reach under my nightstand and I pick up my little portable Logitech keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I read the and I turn on my TV, and on there is there's a Windows XP screen that comes up.
Yeah.
And I check the weather for the day to see which cover garment I should wear over my 1911. And because
nobody else here knows anything about that.
Nothing's worse than wearing your flannel when it's 80 degrees.
I guess. Yep.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so hot. I can't
Everybody's looking at you like, who's the freak wearing the flannel?
Nope.
Yeah, if they hear me bitching, they'll say, well, just take it off, and I'll be like,
I love momentum. I
Yay!
Love the engineer. I love this bakery. I love the blogosphere. I love the whole world.
The
and all its messed up folks. Boom day yada, boom day yada, boom day yada, boom day yada. I love your suffering.
I love playing in my head.
I love entangled sheets and kite photography. I love the whole world and all its mysteries. Boom day yada, boom day yada, boom day yada, boom day yada. I love elections. I love transistors. I love weird pillow talk. I love your sister. I love the whole world. The future's pretty cool. Boom day yada, 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 boom day yada. With
I just thought it was time for
that. Awesome. Thank you so much.
That's the XKCD. I love XKCD.
I love the internet. Yeah. Thank you.
Video, in case anybody hasn't seen it.
Lovely. Miguel is
who's running
out.
A
he hates everything.
Who's running a can opener?
Oh, stop it. It's my computer.
Really? It sounds like a can opener.
It's the fan of my computer. It's because I have the computer on my lap and my lap is so hot.
I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah, it is.
it has to run the fan.
Well,
I don't
know
for this thing. Anyway.
But as I was saying,
you're supposed to keep your notebook away from heat sources, Brita.
I'm putting it on the table. Shut up.
Let's say I get up in the morning and it used to be back in the day, you'd get up in the morning and you'd turn on the morning news.
Oh yeah, I don't even bother.
It's like fuck that noise. I turn on a computer.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I pick up my iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I pick up my iPhone
directly up to the widescreen in my TV. I mean, in my bedroom, and I check my blog comments, and I go to YouTube and check the morning videos and all of that, and I'll put on a YouTube video while I'm getting dressed, and
I can
watch.
What?
Oh, whatever.
TGIF. Usually
first thing in the morning, it's whatever PJTV has, because that's usually what I'm in the mood for. Yeah. And my wife gets upset if I put on Action Figure Therapy. but it's one of those. And then you can go over to Hulu or to Netflix or all of that. I mean, it's one of those.
Yes.
Why in the living fuck would I have cable?
I don't know. I haven't had cable in over 10 years. Really, we got married and we never got cable or TV. We had a TV and we had rabbit ears for a while. And then that whole digital thing happened and then we're like, oh, well, fuck it. You know, we're cheap. We're not paying for TV. Yeah. We'll get DVDs from the library.
I have Verizon Fios, but it's only for internet. And that really freaks them out.
We've got the Fios, and it's just internet and phone.
I don't even have.
Yeah, we get the AT&T UVerse people calling us up and showing up at our front door all the time. They come to our house, and we're like,
like Jehovah's.
Yeah.
Hello.
We'd like to talk to you about our cable service.
What?
The last Comcast guy that showed up on my porch, I literally opened the door and said, "Not interested. Get the fuck off my porch."
I'm gonna try. Wow. Seriously. But they're so shocked when we're like, we don't have TV. I mean, it's like they're flabbergasted. And they just don't even know what to do themselves. I'm like, sorry.
Do they scream ook ook and fling poo?
They should, probably. They're very confused.
I have a TV, but I have a DVD player hooked up to it.
Yeah, I do too. And that's good enough.
And a Roku box for Netflix.
An old-timey radio.
Another thing where you try to put numbers into a pattern?
No, that's Sudoku.
Apparently my internet or my computer fan is a problem.
No, it's
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
No, it just sounded like a can opener. I thought the cats are going to come running in and like attack you.
No. You know what? We're halfway through the first hour and really we're just goofing around.
Yeah. Well, we started talking about
the
Wisconsin recall. I guess we can go back to that because it's actually a really big deal. I think it's going to turn out to be a bigger deal than.
I just wanted to interject some quick facts here.
Okay.
First up, I mean, Scott Walker ran on a platform, and unlike most politicians, his platform was actually what he did when he got into office.
Shock.
And then he was recalled, and he won the recall with a larger margin than he won the state in the first place.
That's got to suck for Democrats.
And that's the first time that's ever happened. Usually if you get recalled,
you lose.
You pissed off enough people that they're going to kick your ass.
Well, that's because the people pissed off at you are able to generate more votes than the people that think everything's okay because they don't bother to go.
Yep. And on top of that, there was that God, I love him, the guy that was crying on CNN. His tears are so, so sweet. Keep crying. We must feast. But he was talking about, like, the horrendous outspending that was going on between that. Well, I mean, first up, it's all
when their side does it.
First up, I mean, it's all bullshit because it's one of those, all these people that are bitching about so-and-so outspending someone else. Oddly enough, they voted for the same person. I follow like five or six ultra lefty blogs, and these people were all hardcore into Dennis Kucinich. Now, how come if, you know, back in 2008, how come if you can buy elections, how come you're voting for Dennis Kucinich? Because he's broke. That doesn't seem to work.
Dennis Kucinich? But, are you talking about Cleveland?
No, I'm talking about the 2008 presidential.
Oh, the general election. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, in the primary, it seemed like all the lefty blogs that I was following, because, you know.
Well, they, I know that Ron Paul isn't broke, but he's kind of like the opposite end of the scale for
Dennis Kucinich. As far as candidates go, he's broke. He doesn't.
Yeah, I know. But the reason why people vote for Dennis Kucinich is the same reason people vote for Ron Paul.
Absolutely. And all of that. And on top of that, I mean, it's one of those, I point out that I made a tremendous mistake at donating money to Scott Brown's campaign. I'll never ever again. But I gave money to Scott Brown. And I'll be damned. I gave money to him, and then I turned around, and when it came to the election, I went out and I voted for him.
Shocking.
And that's how it works. If you get, you know, a million people are going to vote for you, you know, and 10% of them feel like giving out $100, $200, that's a lot of fucking money. And the same thing around that if you raise, you know, $10 million, there's a shitload of people who are willing to vote for you. Because it's not like they're going to give you money and then turn around and vote for the other guy. So,
yep. It's not like they're buying an election. It's the fundraising is sort of like a proxy for how much support you have.
Exactly. And then of course,
that crazy capitalism. There you go again.
Yeah, and of course, I just saw a Pajamas Media thing where they were talking about. The actual spending is that, Barrett's campaign only had, I think, $6 million in it. But they failed to mention that Scott Walker, with himself and all the PACs and all the various side groups, it was like $36 million. Well, they failed to admit that the unions all gathered together $21 million for Barrett.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The actual spending money's pretty fucking close.
Yep. Oh, and our call-in number is 214-530-0036.
That's a hint. Call in.
Hint.
Call in. Talk about anything.
Yeah, so, you know, it's actually and not only did we have the Wisconsin thing, but we had two cities in California that actually overwhelmingly voted to cut their public retirement spending.
They went for some union pay cuts as right. well.
Wait, yeah. wait, they went for cuts?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ohio, we have had a whole issue with the unions. And it was a very similar situation to Wisconsin where we wanted to, you know, limit their what is it called? Their negotiation?
Oh, yeah, the collective bargaining.
Bargaining, yeah, that's the word. Ohio, you know, they tried to limit the bargaining and the whatnot, and it passed initially. And so it was kind of like, woohoo, yay, you know. And then they managed to get it repealed. So Ohio is in the position where, you know, we have to pay for, you know, all the pensions and all the benefits and all that stuff. And then, you know, cities are having to cut things, you know,
yep.
to save money so that they can pay off the unions. And basically it's like cutting things like now I have to pay for my trash collection or, you know, things like that, little things, but it all adds up. So
trash collection is one of the first things that they go for when they want
to. Yeah, sure.
You know, because nobody wants to be bothered.
Right.
Nobody wants to be bothered taking care of their trash.
Right.
Well, it's either they either go for trash collection, or they go for something that'll terrify everyone. It's just like whenever the teachers unions suddenly want more money so they can work less, they always say we're going to cut the football team. Always say that.
Bye.
You know, around here, they cut the busing.
Yeah.
No school buses for anybody.
But, around here, the football teams are one of the few things that actually makes money for the school. They don't talk about, oh, we're going to lay off a custodian and make the teachers empty their own trash barrels at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to cut a couple of secretaries from the office.
Right.
Or they never say they're going to cut the band and the art program. And I know, Brita, you're an artist, and I was a band geek, and hey, those are wonderful programs. But let me tell you, if you cut the band program, it's not going to upset too many goddamn people. But you go to cut the football team,
the baseball team,
the end of the world,
or all that. Suddenly, people are going to say, "Raise my property taxes."
They do the same thing with the cops. You know, it's like when the city's running short of money, they don't cut. You know, they don't cut the mayor's car allowance. You know, they say we're gonna cut cops. We're gonna fire cops, or we're gonna fire firemen or something like that.
Close fire stations.
Yeah. So they pick the one thing that the city should be spending money on instead of all the other bullshit that they don't need to be spending.
Well, I mean, that's one of my cruxes towards my. I mean, I'm severely anti-union, if anyone didn't realize that. And it's when it comes to union bargaining, it always sounds exactly like your stereotypical Hollywood mafioso.
That's what it is.
Racket. Right. It's one of those, basically. Hey, you's got a nice assembly line running. It'd be an awful shame if nobody was to show up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never about the, whenever the unions come through, they always talk about like the, the 1900, early 1900, someone would get their hand caught in a cannery machine and get ripped off, and they'd say, "Oh shit, you don't have a hand, so you can't work here anymore. Yeah,
you're fired." Shit.
Yeah.
No, not, but now it's one of those things of the, "Oh, we want, we want 14 half-hour coffee breaks." And that's not cutting into the cigarette breaks. If we're going to smoke cigarettes, that has to be after we finish the coffee, breaks.
Yeah, that's separate.
If you don't give that to us, guess what? None of your product's going to get made.
Right.
So the company struggles with it until finally they say, "Hey, we can build this shit a whole lot cheaper in, in Bangalore."
Well, the other thing they do is they hit the companies up when times are good. And the company's like, okay, whatever.
Right.
But when times are bad, and the company's like, how about some pay cuts? And the union's like, fuck you.
Yeah, we'd rather shutter the company,
right,
than take pay cuts.
Right.
But look, hello, Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, you always hear about this. It's always through the back channels because the mainstream media won't cover it. But you hear about like the guy who's fallen on tough times. He's running behind on his mortgage, and he's living paycheck to paycheck. And suddenly, the union calls strikes, and now he has to deal with the unemployment rate that they're getting while he stands out in the parking lot. So he tries to cross the picket line to get it, and he comes back out to four flat tires and a smashed windshield on his car.
Yep.
Yeah.
And these are by his quote unquote union brothers.
Yeah.
What's that sound like to you?
Happened to my father-in-law.
There's a reason organized crime and union are so tied in together. They're pretty much the same thing.
What happened to your father-in-law?
No. He stayed with the union, but times would be tough and they'd call a strike. So they'd be out of work, not getting paid, and they get they don't get a full paycheck from the union. They get a stipend.
Right.
$50 a day. It's ridiculous. They get back a tenth of their dues over the course of a month.
Well, yeah, because the president of the union has to, you know, he's got to maintain his standard of living.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, he's got to make payments on the three Cadillacs.
That cocaine isn't going to snort itself.
That's right, damn it.
My mistress isn't going to play with herself. Oh, well.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we hate the unions. Here's the thing. As much as I don't like public sector unions, you know, I kind of lean toward, you know, people can do whatever the hell they want, right? I think there's a lot of legal stuff the government does that benefits the union at the expense of companies that I would like to not see. But on the other hand, public sector unions are just pure evil.
Oh, yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
It's free association and private sector unions. They've got all the checks and balances that the other stuff goes. And it's one of those. I hate all unions across the board. I mean, that's just my personal stance. I don't like it. It's my personal opinion is we can have OSHA or we can have unions. Your choice, but pick one.
Right.
Your rights are. You know, in this case, it's kind of twofold, and I don't really see what's going on. But on the other hand, I do love me some UPS, and they're a union shop, and they really challenge my hatred of unions because they seem to get the shit done, and they don't charge ridiculous prices to do it.
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think the union does that necessarily. I think UPS does that in spite of the union.
But it's needless to say that there are places that do it right, and the only places you'll ever find that are in the public sector.
Well, yeah, because the private sector unions are all horrible. I mean, look at the post office. Good Lord,
mm-hmm.
That's like the epitome of suck and fail. And then, well, anyway.
Yep, or the public school unions.
Right.
Like I said, my dad was one of the good teachers, and he worked his ass off. And then meanwhile, there were guys that were right across the hall from him that were showing up drunk. And I keep pointing out my dad's a big Democrat guy and was a union negotiator and all that stuff. And I said, you negotiated so that guy who was across the hall from you could show up drunk almost every single day he was teaching. And he's retired on the exact same pay as my father does.
Of course.
Congratulations, yep. Dad. You came home and cracked the books and busted your ass and worked hard to make sure that your lessons were fresh every single year. Meanwhile, he made sure that the beer was cold.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Who's typing?
Frida's typing.
And her fan's loud.
I am not.
Okay, so I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
And speaking of dead horses.
Yes.
Actually, I don't want to talk about that issue specifically because, you know, it's pointless.
And it's been beaten to death.
Yeah. I would like to talk about the sociological aspects of that issue vis-a-vis the gun blogosphere. And Brita had a really good point about that I think is actually more interesting to talk about than the actual incident that set it off.
Okay.
Take it away, Brita.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Good segue. You're so good at that. I don't know where to begin now. I was thinking about this whole... Okay. Let me just start. Somehow I managed to create this whole controversial shitstorm in the gun blogosphere, with a post that was like two lines long. I don't know how that happened.
Feel the power.
That's actually the only way it happens. The shorter and more throwaway a post goes, the more hits it's going to generate.
Right. Well, okay. Yeah. So that happened. And, And this whole training thing happened, you know, everybody debating whether training is good or training isn't good and, you know, what sort of training is good. And my whole issue was, okay, let me just state for the record, my whole issue was there's this thing called physics. And if you have a small mass that goes up against a giant mass, the small mass usually is going to lose. You know, it's just science. You know, these things happen. And my feeling was I don't need training. I don't need somebody to beat me up and hit me and cause me pain to get that thought through my head. I'm really clear on that already. But if somebody wants to do that, you know, whatever. Do your thing. Get bruises. Blog about them.
Use plenty of lube.
Do your thing. Right, weird.
Make sure you have Amen. A safe word.
Have your safe word. Do your thing. Okay. So, anyway, so all of this is beside the point. So last night I was thinking, couldn't sleep. And I thought, wait a minute, what is going on in the gun blogs? What is going on? And, you know, I stopped blogging for a while, but that does not mean I stopped reading. And I started noticing that there are a lot of infighting, a lot of, you know, back and forth. What's better, 1911 or 45 or open carry versus concealed carry versus, you know, it's just like this constant, like, people fighting about things and not fighting for things. Okay. And so I started thinking about it in sort of like a sociological kind of way. In any society, like if you don't have an external force that's like this kind of enemy from the outside to keep the group together and cohesive, the group will fall apart and start infighting. Oh my God, I'm totally rambling.
Well, that's actually an interesting point.
Hang on one second. Keep going.
She's about to wrap it up in a pretty.
I have a thought. Okay, so the group falls apart, and in that process, the group is falling apart, and there's infighting, and you know, people are forming little groups, and then it happens that certain individuals start feeling that they are superior in that group, and they want to become the elite group. They want to become the ruling class. Now, in my, you know, I've been kind of like reading the gun blogs, and I've noticed that there is this kind of training mentality. And if you don't train, you're not good. And you need to train, and you need to, you know, go to classes, and you have to, all this stuff, you know. And what I really noticed was it really was kind of very similar to like the people who are like, well, if you don't get training, you can't be a gun owner, or, you know, if you don't have this type of gun, you're no good. It's kind of like this elitist thing. I don't know. Help me out, Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
Well, I mean, I think the thing you mentioned to me before was this whole it you know, after post Heller,
it really seemed like things started falling apart because we didn't have like a common enemy to fight.
It's
against.
Like we won, and
yeah,
now what?
And Jay, you said earlier today that it has been 20 years where gun rights have become kind of an accepted thing, right?
It's right. Been an entire generation.
An entire generation.
The kids that were born the year the assault weapons ban passed are 18.
Right.
They have gone their whole lives with gun rights on the rise.
Sure.
The assault weapons ban, it was the double whammy. It was the classic Clinton overreach. The Brady bill back-to-back with the assault weapons ban. It was
right.
Pushed too much, too hard, too fast. Because
well,
either one by themselves, I think, would have stood. But it's wham, and then wham. You know, you start saying, okay, we
right.
need to have more checks. And, oh, yeah, at the same time, you're not allowed to have these. And whenever you tell a group of Americans you can't have this, we go, fuck you, I can't have it.
Right.
And then at the exact same time that people started going out and buying AR-15s and AK pattern right. rifles because they were going to be disappearing soon, and people just wanted to grab something, you know, grab something before it went away. It was just like, I mean, I saw so many people buying Four Loko just as they were getting pulled off the shelf.
Right.
Not because they liked that awful shit, but it was because it was one of those, someone said they couldn't have it. And all those people were buying those things. And at the same time, that was exactly when the internet started exploding.
Right.
And so people now were suddenly talking about it as uh-huh. well. And so suddenly you had the people who knew ballistics talking with the people who served in the military, talking with the people that did long range target shooting, talking with the, you had enough people gathered from all around that was saying actually I was attacked and I had to kill somebody to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when that suddenly all gets together versus what it was just before that, which was when the assault weapons ban passed, you know, I honestly thought that it was banning machine guns.
Yep.
Right.
I honestly thought that all those guns that I saw lined up at the racks of the gun stores were full auto.
Yep.
Because
that was how it was implied. This goes exactly with what Hank was talking about, where you were in control of the information that. Now. But, you know, I wanted to get back to the whole sociological aspect of what's going on in the gun blogs is that, and this whole thing, this whole thought started with, why do the Amish not have buttons on their clothing?
I know.
Do you know?
I do.
Tell me why.
It leads to masturbation.
No.
It's so that nobody's buttons are nicer than anybody else.
Exactly. People, human beings are built that way. We want to sort ourselves into social stratifications. It's just the way we are. People want to be better than the other. People want to one-up each other all the time. And really, I've been seeing this with this whole training thing. Now, you know, there's a gun blogger who, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going there today. There's a gun blogger who implied in his blog post that if you don't train hard, you're going to be mediocre. And his blog is not for the mediocre. Okay. And then there was another, and from that gun blogger, I kind of expected that. I'm not going to name names.
It was not me.
It was not Jay, and it was not Jared now.
I strive to someday be mediocre.
Oh, me too. Okay, I'm just sitting here talking about my cats and my nail polish. So, you know, just ignore me. I'm mediocre, you know. But from that gun blogger, I kind of expected that sort of bullshit. Really, because that's his MO, okay? But, you know, I saw in another gun blog where that implied that if you don't kind of push yourself, if you don't train, if you don't go for it, you're going to be stagnant. And, you know, I was kind of interested in the word usage. You know what I mean? A number of gun bloggers are starting to say these sorts of words as sort of like, hey, I'm different than you. I'm not stagnant. I'm not mediocre. You know, you should be like me because I'm special. And you know, I understand.
And even worse, if you're not like me, you suck.
Yeah, or whatever. You know what I mean? And I was just noticing that it was an interesting thing where people were kind of trying to sort themselves out into this kind of elite group that people who train are somehow above other gun owners that don't. That was, you know, that was my whole sociological
and I actually thing. And I think it goes wider than also just the a common enemy is. I think people are kind of generally wired that shitting on, attacking, you know, going against something is almost easier and better than being for something. You could make the argument that the army person that really doesn't much care for his other guys in his unit, but hey, you know, it's better than the Germans. But I saw the other day, and I remarked on it on my blog, and I thought it was so funny, was I saw a car that had all sorts of stickers on the back, and right, it was a pickup truck, and right front and center underneath that center tail light was or the center brake light was a Yankees suck sticker. And okay. What was really amusing was, of all the other stickers there, there was not one, and I was behind this guy for a while, so I was just scouring, and I just was so amused. He had a Yankee suck sticker, but he did not have a Red Sox sticker.
So it was more important to him that the Yankees suck than that someone else was better.
Exactly. He had like a Bruins sticker and a Celtics sticker, but no Red Sox sticker. So he hated this baseball team, but he didn't love any particular baseball team.
That's like I hate Obama, but I don't love. I would have like I hate Obama bumper sticker, but I wouldn't have I love Mitt Romney.
Yeah, and that's
it tastes just like chicken.
And unfortunately, that's Mitt Romney's number one campaign selling point.
Further around,
that was Obama's number one campaign selling point is, hey, my name is Barack Obama, and Bush sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
and let's see, hello, like I'm Mitt Romney.
No. Weird, be fair. It was Bush sucks, and I'm black.
That is true. But the and it's Mitt Romney, and I am not Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And if he
and I'm Mormon,
I think he kind of keeps that under the wraps.
It's a magic underwear.
Oh God, she had to bring up the magic underwear.
Of course, duh.
I have magic underwear too.
So basically, you know, the Gumblogs has become like Lord of the Flies or something.
It's become a microcosm of the human condition.
Sure. Any society, you know, community or whatever will, you know.
And it's, I think it's, we've gotten so far from the dark days of the early 90s where
exactly
we had this common enemy. The wolf was literally at the door. We were going to perish. And now, in a way, it's good because it means we've got the breathing room to worry about the stupid little shit.
Well, it's like the U.S. The U.S. as a whole. I mean, the U.S. is such a rich country that even our poor people live better than kings of old.
Right.
And we spend all our time arguing about useless bullshit that doesn't matter.
Right.
Instead of real problems.
This sort of sorting ourselves into like what is better and what is best and that sort of thing is not really productive or helpful for the Second Amendment. You know, I just want to kind of stress that is the people who start saying, well, if you don't train, you're not a good gun owner.
Can we turn this around real quick? Is first up, go talk to anybody who has been in combat over in Iraq and Afghanistan and ask them how much time they spend working on their mag changes, their pistol transitions.
Right.
They don't.
And then further, go into whatever, you know, accumulation site you have, or just run the Google search yourself and start looking at defensive gun uses and look at how high speed, low drag those people are.
They are.
Right. And they're not. And I want to stress here that one of the bloggers who came out, who is all train hard and train like you fight, and blah, blah, blah. When in a self-defense sort of situation, could only think to throw a cup of coffee, you know,
train like a warrior.
Right.
I had to throw the warrior.
And also only had a single 25 ACP, since we all know who we're talking about now.
Yeah. Right.
But it's one of those had an extremely minuscule, a gun that by all standards and by the year time, there were pocket 9mm at that time, and certainly shitloads of pocket 380s, but that's what this person had. And it was enough.
Well, it was okay. Maybe, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, if you, all the training in the world might not prepare you for the actual real life situation.
It can't.
And I'm not saying
no amount of training will prepare you for a real life situation.
Training is not bad. You know, learning new skills and being strong and having your body be prepared for sort of stressful situations is a terrific thing. However, putting all your eggs in one basket of this training of some guy taking you to the park and beating the crap out of you is really not very wise. That's all I have ever said. You know.
We have a caller.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I need an area code 305. You're on the air. Is it Jesus?
Hello?
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 Hi, caller.
My name is Peggy. You want to cash some points?
Oh, we don't have, we haven't introduced you yet.
Okay, do you want me to call back later?
No, it's time.
There is a phrase you have to say, though, in order to come on.
Acorn again?
No.
No, not acorn. Not acorn. No, no. This time it's say hello to my little friend.
I'm not touching that one, brother. I'm not touching that one.
Sorry, it was with the shot.
I need it for my ringtone.
Rita wants it for her ringtone.
Wait, caller, can you introduce yourself as Inigo Montoya?
Okay, hold on a second. Let's see, I got something for you. Say you the better?
That's good. Is that a space cow?
I'm supposed to be a zombie grown, so shoot.
He is from Florida, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way, if anybody doesn't know,
let's introduce our new guest.
Yes, this is Miguel of the Gun Free Zone.
Gun Free Zone. Miguel, I wanted to let you know that for the past two Squirrel Report episodes, I have wanted you to call in because you were so terrific the first time. And you were resisting and resisting. And so, in order for me to get my way, I decided that you were going to be our blogger of the week.
God, this woman has some serious sexual problems, I'm telling you.
Yes. But beside that, thank you, Miguel.
Okay. That's not a darling.
No, I just thought you were a terrific guest, and I wanted you to call in again. So, you know, I had to force my hand.
Maybe you guys are sorry I could do that tonight, but what the hell. my name is Inigo Montoya. You shot my father? No, you didn't shoot your father. Okay. So we have a topic here or what?
Oh, my God. Too awesome.
Let me go real quick on the training scene. You guys were talking just now.
Yes, please.
One of the things you see everybody is talking about, my training is better. And everything is, you know, shooting and manipulating the gun, right? You know, I want to do it harder. I want to do, you know, some jumping from a jeep in motion, et cetera. How many people actually train you in mindset? Because at the end of the day, you can be, you know, you can shoot a gun like a wild helicopter, but if you don't have the brain or the mindset or the preparation of, you know, acting when you have to, you're going to be dead. I don't care if you shoot a gallop.
Right.
So that's why I think.
I think there is an essential nature, the fight or flight issue. I think that comes down to the essential, really. Are you prone to fight or flight? And can you really train for one or the other? I don't know.
I don't know, but
there's a can opener.
Jay.
No, it's true. You can never tell how you're gonna react. But at the same time, you have to figure. You know, train somewhere your brain. Okay, you know, what happens if you are, you know, for example, you know, walking down the mall or whatever, and think, what happens right now if a shooting starts? What do I do? Do I seek for an exit? Do I look for cover? What? And that's kind of what-if scenarios you got to be running all the time. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, give yourself enough mental training, if you want to, you know, to have something of an answer when the time comes. And I don't see anybody, or very few people, doing that.
Right. Yeah. You know, whenever you see, you read the news after a mass shooting or some sort of disaster, that sort of thing, there's always, almost in every single article, somebody always says, oh, that sort of thing doesn't happen here.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently it does, honey, and you just didn't think about it, you know.
Another interesting example is Masayub talked about a police officer that was involved with a shooting. And he took, I may have this completely wrong about the quote, but I'm pretty sure he took like a 22 to the vest, and the vest stopped it. But he got shot in the chest in the middle of a gunfight, and he went down. And it was just one of those things of the, he realized he got shot, and at that point in time, it was a, It was a brain overload to him. He didn't know what to do next, and he fell down, and he was out of the fight.
Yeah, there was Masada you that mentioned that one. But going back again, it is the training that you can do. You have to do with your mind, and the problem is very few people do it. There's a ton of books out there that deal with that. From Colin Grossman down, I mean, you know, you got to develop that mind. The problem is nobody wants to deal with, you know, considering themselves a killer. But unfortunately, that's what you have to become in order to survive. Yep. You have to be willing and to accept the fact that you may have to take a human life.
Right. Have you ever seen Dave Grossman in person?
Pardon?
Miguel, have you?
Yo. Have I what?
Have you seen Dave Grossman in person?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. He's terrific. He talks about that a lot. And it's so much comes from mindset, I think. You know, there's a matter of physicality, of being strong enough to be able to do the job, but I think it really starts in your mind first.
Yeah, well, I mentioned this before. I was talking with a buddy of mine who was over in Iraq, and I was saying, I was asking how much of this, you know, crazy ninja training goes on in the army, and he goes, none. All they really focus on is just making sure you know how to do the basic running of the gun,
right.
And, you know, I mean, that doesn't even include going full auto. I mean, you're not even using your gun to the full capabilities of it. And he's, you know, make sure you know how to run the gun. You know how to change magazines. You know how to clear failures. And you know how to, you know, put rounds on target. And then he said, and then
it's
all about the mindset of the, yeah. If you're in battle, it's going to come down to you or them. Make sure make sure you're shooting them and them, not them shooting you. And that was it.
You know what the Army spends more time training on than actually putting bullets down range?
Cleaning?
Logistics and paperwork.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters.
I wonder, too. I'm sorry. Go, Miguel.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. Something else. Go.
I wonder if maybe a little bit of the whole training aspect is folks that don't believe they have the proper mindset. And I'm not trying to psychoanalyze anybody. But
go ahead.
Realistically,
nobody listens anyway. Go ahead.
You will never get the training scenario that's going to allow you to survive a violent encounter.
No, you won't.
Plain and simple. Nobody is going to really honestly try to stab you. They're not going to try to shoot you. And if they do, and you've planned this training, you know it's coming. Okay? The guy is going to walk out from behind a building, or he's going to approach you from across the street, or you're going to get jumped going into somewhere. Now, granted, a lot of that is your situational awareness, which can mitigate things, but it also prevents it from ever happening. But if you are in that situation, if you have to, for whatever reason, whatever reason, you let your guard down for a second, or they're the same high level ninjas that break into say uncle's house and can pinpoint his position by the weapon light. You are going to do one of two things. You are going to react against the threat, or you're going to run like a scared rabbit. It's the fight or flight that Rita was talking about earlier.
Or are you going to freeze up?
And, or are you going to freeze up? That's part of flight, in that you don't actually run, but you mentally run.
But run away.
You cannot train for that. You cannot predict that. It either happens and you find out, or it doesn't and you don't know. And that's scary, not knowing how you're going to react.
It's very scary.
No. Yeah, the thing is, if you are a tactical guy, you cannot predict, because if we knew how that was going to happen, we wouldn't be there in the first place. Okay? But it is, okay, your mind is going to be, you're going to always be surprised. You've got like a second and a quarter of reaction time is going to take you, whatever. The thing is, get off the line, and what the hell are you going to do? That is the beginning of an mindset. Okay, like I said, you're gonna be ambushed, you're gonna get it.
Right.
Okay, but if you have a chance, okay, what do I do now? Instead of, oh my god, I'm getting ambushed here. What am I doing? No, do something, move, attack, run, shoot a solid beach. I don't care. But that's the principle of mindset, running to get off the dime once the attack is started.
Right.
And actually, Miguel raises a really, really good point, is that on top of that, you know, if you get ambushed, you're dead. You know, situation is, you know, rule number one of surviving a gunfight is don't get yourself in a gunfight. And that's something that I think that some people also can't really get in. I mean, we have that guy in Houston with the Stand Your Ground case that also has been making the rounds, where, you know, he showed up, you know, his neighbors were having a loud party. He showed up and told them to quiet down. They started getting more and more loud and anxious and threatening him and telling him to, you know, go away and all that. And the dude just said, I'm standing my ground here and all that. And eventually one of the guys charged at him and he shot him, and who knows what else
happened. He's going to go away for second degree murder in that one. Because, he's an idiot.
The bottom line is, no matter how much in the right or in the wrong, and I'm not going to make, you know, a judgment on what, you know, what logistics are. I'll let the court handle that. You know, they don't pay me enough to do this. But the bottom line is that no matter if you're in the right or in the wrong, you know, he was standing around waiting for the gunfight to start. And it's one of those things of the, I'm not carrying a gun because I want to get in a gunfight. I want to go home.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for it to happen. I don't want to get into a gunfight, because no matter how much I've trained, no matter how much of a crazy fucking ninja I am, and no matter how shitty my opponent is, he could get a lucky shot off, and I could have one of those oh shit moments where everything goes wrong for me. He wins, I loses.
And you lose everything.
And you lose everything. And that's not even factoring in the legal bullshit of the, even if you're in the clear, you know, I mean, the chances that no matter what happens to George Zimmerman, he's probably going to die an unnatural death. And that doesn't matter if he's guilty. That doesn't matter if he's innocent. That doesn't matter if he did actually murder Trayvon Martin and got away with it, or if he was absolutely acting in self-defense and did everything he could to avoid it and really, honest to goodness, had to kill the guy. It doesn't matter. He's been tarred and feathered. His face is up on every goddamn newspaper, and there's a whole bunch of people who have decided he's a murderer and some bizarre Klansman, and they're going to kill his ass as soon as they get him in eyesight.
They've put a bounty on his head.
Absolutely.
You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, he put himself in that situation. The one in Texas, I'm glad you said it, Miguel, because I was just about to. I'm not afraid to use the term fucking moron. Okay? You're going to confront people down the street. You're going to go over to their house with a gun. Are you a fucking moron?
Yes.
Plain and simple. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's stupid. Let the cops handle that. That's what they get paid for.
It's loud noise. It's annoying as hell. Yes.
Yeah. But it's not life-threatening.
You hate them with every fiber of your being. But when you go to them, you lose the moral high ground. You are a fucking murderer. And you, right. I want you off my side. I want you in fucking jail because you're a moron. You are too stupid to be out on the fucking street.
I'm guessing you have a strong opinion about this guy.
I just hate stupid people that make my life harder. Okay, a moron in New York who is going 193 miles on miles an hour on a motorcycle. I want you to die in a fire.
No, not a fire. You want him to die in a head trauma so they can use his organs to save other people's lives.
193 miles an hour, there's going to be nothing left but pink mist.
Yeah, whatever.
There might be some bone marrow for transplant.
Yeah. Yeah, not when it's dragged down the highway for 3 miles.
They have some nice pink goo.
Can I add something that I'm going to say hate, but it's not real hate, but it really ticks me off on playing wise?
Oh, do tell us, Miguel, please.
I'm all about the hate, Miguel.
You guys know the VTAC barricade?
The what? I'm sorry?
VTAC. You know the people from VTAC, right?
Oh, yes.
They come up with this barricade, so you can bunch of little holes, so you can shoot in, different positions and whatnot. Have you ever seen anything more stupid than that? Nobody knows this. Oh, come on. I'm talking here to myself.
Throw us a link, Miguel.
Okay. It's like a Bianchi barricade. You know what a Bianchi barricade is. It's, 8 feet tall. And, 4 feet wide.
The action pistol shooting barricade courses.
Oh, those things.
Yes.
Okay, that is like something. It's got holes all the way to the ground. To the ground. Okay.
Yeah.
And they got people shooting what I call the mouse hole. And I'm thinking, if I got my problem that big, that I got a shovel rifle. In the world, I just better go ahead and tank the whole fucking house. But it's ridiculous. If I'm doing a wall and the only hole there is down there, I'm happy. That means that they're going to shoot me. I can't stay away from the super hole. I'm a homeowner. I'm a civilian. Okay? Now, the biggest hole in my house are my windows, my doors. If you have to shoot from them, not from the freaking clothes dryer vent. Okay? That's the only similar hole I got. Tell me the other truth. The only hole you have similar to that is the vent for your dryer. That means, in order for me to shoot a bad guy outside, I got to remove the dryer, take out the hose, knock out the little cage outside, and start shooting. In the meantime, the guys are coming into my window. What the fuck?
No, just shoot the dryer. They'll find their way out the back.
Well,
wait a minute. If I shoot a dryer, my wife's killing me. I cannot shoot a dryer.
Further, the barricade's considered hard cover. So why don't you just use the hard cover to cover your escape?
Just start running.
Exactly. I understand. Sometimes you have to take kind of weird positions, but. And, I'm not confronting a brigade of hardcore Al Qaeda. I got maybe a couple of gangbangers are shooting their dickies from the hip, and it's like, keep shooting like that, I'm going to get you full of holes. But I mean, go back to basics. The basic manipulation of a firearm, of a handgun, basic manipulation of a rifle, and the shotgun, and that's going to take you a long time. You don't have to go on ninja on the crap. And then, train your mind. What if me get off the dime? When you are being attacked, that's it. And the only reason we survive most of the attacks from a criminal is because the criminal wants something from you before you die. Maybe cash, maybe your body. Okay? We have very few instances in which a criminal is going to go after you just for your life. Right. Because you want your cash, your watch. We have that little break of time to do something about it.
I'm sorry.
Unless he wants
you for your face. That's it. Yeah. If he wants to eat your face, that's a different.
Yeah, the zombies, which, in Florida is a real issue. No, there's a whole bunch of dead goblin counts that I put up where people were sent into their closet / bedroom / somewhere they had a gun stashed. The robber was just like, okay, you get in the closet. Oh, Don't throw me into that briar patch, Brad.
Yeah, don't throw me into the briar patch. I'm glad you brought up the Song of the South.
Whatever you do, please don't make me go in that dark closet.
I'm going to put a gun in my closet tonight.
And also, I mean, you've got the 90% of self-defense is, you know, no shot is fired. It's the bottom line. And further, you've got all the data that's showing that the places that have the more liberalized carry laws, there isn't too many direct confrontational violent crime. And it's simply because the criminal's not looking. He's not looking for your life, as Miguel said. He doesn't want to kill you. He may be indifferent about killing you in the end, but he wants something else from you. And the thing that he's not looking for is to count the number of rifling lands that's on the barrel of your .38. You know,
yeah,
when you come up with a gun, he goes, "Shit, that wasn't what I was looking for."
That's not in my OODA loop.
And one of the things, for example, I read this years ago, so I can't remember who wrote it, but they asked somebody, you know, why they didn't shoot people first and then, you know, rob them. And they said it's too hard to manipulate a dead body, you know, get the wallet, get the watch. So they rather, you know, give them all the stuff, and then if they have to shoot you, they will.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, play with that, you know, it's like, you know, get somebody to play dead and you try to get the wallet and the cell phone and everything out of the box. It takes too much time. And remember, time is always the enemy of the bad guy.
For her.
So it's like, you know, hey, you know, give me your money. Give me your sexy buddy. Then, you know, okay, and you pull the little .22 out of the garter belt.
Yes, I always keep.
Now you're talking my language.
I always keep a .22 in my garter belt.
I'm thinking Miguel has sexual problems.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you, honey.
Hey,
I'm the hell off right here.
Miguel, the reason, other than listening to your sexy accent that Brita's in there with,
I just crave non-Yankee accents.
I guess.
Hey.
Any variety? Sorry, Jay Weird. I'm really sorry. But non-Yankee accents are really a nice change of pace. So,
what are you, retarded?
Yes.
Yeah, especially from a foreigner who went to Tennessee to learn English. So, there you go.
And yes.
The excuse for having Miguel on was the post that he made where he mentioned traipsing around in the Amazon and something about lizard people.
Yes. So, no, I brought up the lizard people.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody said something about lizard people, and
I like the part about the laundry.
Yeah, what happened there, Miguel?
Wow. Okay, I didn't hear you guys right. What happened?
You and the bottle of bleach.
Oh, I threw the fifth on that one because the wife is still awake. Another mistake. I thought, you know, like two cups of bleach and on the watch, and the wife would do.
Two cups of bleach.
I think that was a master plan.
Absolutely, you do a job shitty enough, you won't ever get asked to do it again.
That's right.
Oh no!
My children are masters of that. You want me to take the trash out? Drag, bag breaks.
Brita. Will you please tell the gentleman from the north that what happens when you pissed off a southern woman?
I don't know.
Alan might know.
Guys, I want you to memorize something real good, you know? Southern women are beautiful, are charming, and they got that action going, and the smile on your face, and all at the same time, they're pulling the trigger and the shot and killing you.
Bless his heart.
Okay, you know, bless your heart, boom. Okay, they are like that. I'm married to one.
This is true.
Okay?
26, I had no idea.
26 years. This, when the hell is our anniversary? In 3 days. 26 years. And I am not divorcing her because I appreciate my life. I love my life. It will kill me. I asked her, hi, honey. Oh, shit. She's in front of me right now. Stop laughing.
I love that whole laundry discussion post. Miguel mentioned. Jeez, I never realized there were so many single or divorced guys who read my blog.
Well, seriously, I asked her once if she ever caught me cheating, she would divorce me. And she looks at me with that little, you know, angelical face, and it's like, why should I, you know, divorce you? I stay married and I'm going to make your life fucking miserable.
Wow.
Wow.
I would thought of other lines of, why would I divorce you? They'd never find the body.
I'm serious, guys. I mean, don't mess with other women. Don't. You know, it's like.
Mental note. Thank you, Miguel. It's important safety.
My wife would thank you, too. I've decided not to mess with Southern women.
Okay. And I've been talking for too long. I'm going to let you guys, the line free for somebody else. Please call people. It's about 21 people online. Come on. Somebody call.
Yeah. Somebody call in. Alan, announce the number, please.
Oh, yeah. It's, crap.
What's Jennifer. I want Jennifer to call. Where is Jennifer?
214-530-0036.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Call.
Okay, guys, have a great night. I'll see you guys in the chat.
Thanks, Miguel. Nice talking to you.
Later.
Thanks, Miguel.
Thank you, Miguel. You rock. I still want to say hello to my little friend.
I want him to say, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
We'll get him to say it. I'll get him to say it.
I think he could do a fantastic Ricky Ricardo.
We just need to have the Miguel cast.
Yeah, seriously, the dude needs his own show. Anyway. This whole blog of the week thing is kind of hard because there's so much going on in the blog sphere.
It is hard.
Generally, it's hard to pick one. But Alan and I kind of agreed that if we can't agree on a post, we'll agree on a blogger that we find entertaining.
I think that sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we can.
And then
why don't we hear myself?
I don't know. There's like an echo.
Somebody turn me down.
I blame Jay.
Jay?
It's me. It's Jay's fault. I've got you turned up, Rita.
All right. Well, anyway, if anybody would like to call and talk to us, like we said before.
Yes, call and talk to us.
530-0036. We are halfway through the show.
I think we need to talk about
anything.
Lizard people.
Right.
Lizard. What about lizard? What's the deal with the lizard people?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Weird.
Wait, who I thought Brita said, I thought you said you brought up the lizard people.
Well, okay. Miguel said something about you thinking the lizard people were real because of your whole, you know, like, Getty thing with the...
Oh, yeah. The skunk ape. Cryptid. Yeah.
Skunk ape.
And with that, let's take a caller.
Okay.
caller.
Area code 303, you're on the air.
This better be good.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, it's Phil from England here. Been a long time since I stalked you, but hey, here I am.
Awesome.
My very first international caller on Gun Nuts. How are you, Phil?
Yeah, I'm very well. You said you wanted to hear a non-Yankee accent. I think this is as far as it gets.
This is the best night ever.
Woohoo.
Best night ever.
Thank you.
I don't know, it sounds like
unless we get, you know, Kim DeTwine or something.
But we didn't hear you. Bad copy. Say again.
In England there, Phil. Tell us.
Sorry?
How's it going in England?
It's great. I mean, it's obviously 3:30 in the morning, but, you know.
yeah.
Wow, that's dedicated.
I had to call in, baby. I had to tell you the story of how I came to be awake at this hour.
Okay.
Because it's a story of wishful dreaming.
Huh.
Because I woke up because I had a very strange dream in which I was in Indianapolis, and this is where the wishful part comes in, because I was staying at Tam and Bobby's house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I got out of the grocery store.
Dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought it could happen.
Oh, no. Purely G-rated, except in the matter of gun porn, because I was open carrying a Mauser C96 while I was there.
Woohoo!
Good for you!
I posted a picture of one of them today.
I was just saying, I think I can thank Jay for that one, because it was Friday gun porn.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and as I recall, there was another gun blogger there. I forget who it was, who very, very rightly condescendingly said to me, "Sean, have you ever fired that thing?"
Oh, no.
And I said, "Of course not. That's illegal where I live."
it's even worse than Massachusetts.
It's true, yeah. And then I think I got into a very boring, detailed discussion on exactly under what circumstances a British person is allowed to fire a gun.
None whatsoever.
I'm an official. Sorry?
None whatsoever.
Don't you have to go to France?
You're not allowed to fire a gun for any reason, as far as I know.
No, I mean, you've got to either go to the Isle of Man, where handguns actually are legal, or you've got to be very, very popular with your local police force.
Wow.
Or I just saw the pictures of the Queen shooting an automatic rifle.
Yeah.
Yes, if you happen to be the Queen, then yes.
Yeah, you have to be the Queen. She was doing it with her white gloves on. I thought that was charming. Mm. And in a British sort of way.
Yeah, well, you know.
In our country, our welfare moms wear foam trucker hats.
I think that may be the best compliment you could possibly expect out of somebody that's Irish.
I'm sorry. It was hard for me. I had to squeeze that one out.
Well,
God love the Queen. Okay. And her subjects.
Actually,
okay.
the technical term for a subject who is considered trustworthy enough to be around firearms, you know, is maybe somebody who works for the police in the firearms licensing division or something, actually is servant of the crown.
Oh.
Wow.
So, yeah. Talk about the anti-Second Amendment, right?
Yeah. Wow. God.
Yeah, literally. I'm going to go upstairs and fondle a 1911 now.
Yeah. I'm going to be very jealous of you here. Yeah. I don't even have an upstairs, let alone a 1911.
Oh, he's got upstairs envy now.
Oh, Phil.
He suddenly turned into Tevye.
We are going to make you an honorary American.
That's right.
Oh, that'd be great.
Anytime.
I work with a bunch of Americans because I work for the University of Oxford and there's plenty of Americans around here. And I have basically proposed to all of them.
It's legal in Massachusetts.
Yeah. You're assuming they're not women. No,
it doesn't matter at that point.
Whatever.
Hop over the pond. You'll get off in Logan. Weird and I will take you to the range.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's...
okay, they're not all women, but hey. Some of them are married women, which, you know...
It's complicated.
Is that legal in Utah or something? Yeah.
No, Jay.
No, that's right. It's decriminalized in Utah.
That's awesome.
Boy. Well, Phil, it is so good to hear from you.
I think that's our first international call.
It is.
We haven't had Tarb.
No, we haven't. And actually, we need to have Tarb on because he just got a 1911.
Yeah, in Australia.
Really? Yeah. That's allowed? Wait, that's Canada. Never mind.
Canada,
I was going to say they have to have barrels of 5 inches long.
Canada, too. You can get Norinco 1911s in Canada.
Yeah, but only the government.
Phil, you have been here, though, right? And you've been here. I recall seeing a blog post or three about you coming here and shooting guns.
Yeah, that was the gun blogger rendezvous out in Reno a couple of years ago.
Was that an incredible blast for you, or?
It was in every sense of the term. Yeah, it was incredible. And there was lots of blasting. I can assure you. Not as much as if it had been boomer shoot, obviously. But yeah, if you've got to take what you can get, really. They didn't have any of the Tannerite or anything, but you don't need that to entertain a British guy who's never had a handgun in his hand before. You know.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
The targets do not need to be reactive. It's just They didn't even need to be a target. I was just digging little holes in the bun.
Hey, I can do that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, that's why I'm even more jealous of anyone who's about to go upstairs and fumble a 1911. Yeah, that's right, 1911. Yeah, that's what you're going to fumble. No. R-rated again. Stop. No, no. Get it back on track. Yeah. I'm extra jealous because, of course, I've actually shot a 1911 once. So I know what I'm being jealous of.
Yeah.
This is the one that they raffled off at the rendezvous. They had more or less everybody just, you know, breaking it in before whoever gets to own the nice thing.
Yeah, that was a para. That didn't count.
yeah, control true, yourself yeah. by knowing it was a para ordinance. It doesn't really count.
And it's, yeah. So this is the thing. I'm still starry-eyed. I can't get into the snobbery of relative degrees of 1911. I'm like, you know, I've got to work my way up to just, like, block, you know.
Hey, they're just over in Austria. You can, like, go get them right factory fresh.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could move to the Isle of Man, but...
Could, yes.
There are many employment opportunities.
Wealthy, who are well-to-do Brit retirees go?
Yeah, pretty much, because you can't work there unless you've lived there for, like, 15 years already, so you pretty much have to be either retired or independently wealthy to live there if you weren't already born there. So, yeah.
Isn't that where Hellboy came from?
I don't know. All I know about it is the handguns are legal over there. That's sort of enough to sell me. I'm like, yeah, so where's my ticket?
Nice.
Of course, I could move to Switzerland, where, yeah, you can have anything you want.
Well, for now, they're working on it.
Yeah.
They are, yeah. But, hey, you know.
United States and Canada are pretty much the only two places where we're going in the correct direction. Actually, no, India too. India's starting to relax their gun laws.
Okay.
And Liechtenstein. Sorry,
is Liechtenstein changing their gun laws?
No. I just like saying Liechtenstein.
Actually, I saw something in the news just recently. Really recently, that India's women are turning to guns for protection.
Yes.
One of the biggest gun buyers in India are women.
Good for them.
So,
damn, good for them. Sexy and thuggy. The hell is wrong with those people?
Actually, that was just in May. A couple of weeks ago, I saw that article and I thought, wow. India. Cool. India's wealthy women, of course.
Yeah.
You know.
But
they still have a caste system.
Yeah,
the Untouchables means a whole different thing over there. It's not Elliot Ness.
So, Phil, what do you think about the EU? Is it going to collapse or is it going to...
Oh, I do hope so. Because if the euro goes down, that's going to be brilliant for Britain, because we're just going to go, we told you so,
that's
we
right.
said so.
Yeah.
We didn't join it, did we? No.
Yeah.
But then again, it's probably going to take the pound with it, so, yeah.
And the drachma, and the lira, and the franc.
Yes.
Those don't exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, you know,
there's people still holding on to Confederate money, Alan.
Hey, the South will rise again, damn it.
I told my father was just recently over in Italy for a vacation, and I told him, I said, grab a few Italian euros, because that's the closest thing you're going to find to Confederate dollars still in circulation.
Yep.
Yeah, don't take any wooden nickels and don't take any, you know, plastic euros.
Plastic euros.
But Australian dollars, you can take as many plastic ones of those as you want.
That's true, yeah. It's strange squishy money.
Nothing's as good as the Canadian loon. I just like that.
I like the loon.
I'd like a loon, please. Give me my change in loons.
Which one's the loon?
That's the $2 coin.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's got a picture of a loon on it.
Oh, I remember somebody paid for something. I mean, they must have got it at like a toll plaza somewhere, but somebody paid for a drink or something on the boat I was working on in the Sacagawea dollars. And young, ideal, weird beard went, oh, it's a dollar coin. They're so much better for the environment, and they're so good, and they cost less money to make, and it's so much smarter than a dollar bill. So I quickly reached into my wallet, pulled a $5 bill out, and you know, put it in the register, and took those five Sacagawea dollars out, and I walked around with those in my pocket for about a day before I realized I had to get rid of this fucking boat anchor in my pocket. Dollar coins suck. You can have $15 in ones in your pocket and you're okay. You have $10 in $1 coins and you're on a chain gang.
Oh, but by the same token, you fill your hand with them and it's like brass knuckles.
Yeah, but that's illegal in Canada.
Sack of loonies.
Unless you fire a warning shot first.
You throw one at them. Wink. Okay, you know, roll of quarters. It's always a good thing to have in your pocket.
I just go for a cock flute.
So Phil, what do you think about the whole training issue? Were you listening for that?
No, I only woke up like half an hour ago.
Weren't you paying attention?
Yeah. And I think the only training they can do in England is duck and cover.
Well, I wondered about
that. Yeah, pretty
that.
Much.
I wondered if they do any kind of self-defense training over there, because you
they
pretty much
do,
can't.
They do, but they're not allowed to talk about it,
well,
Alan.
Well, I was going to say, you can't really, like, defend yourself legally.
Well, I tell you, my first night in university accommodation at the University of Manchester, the local police came to talk to us all about, you know, how to live in the big city and what to do, and they actually said, don't carry a gun.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. They said, yeah, you don't need a gun. We don't carry guns, so you don't need to. And I'm like, okay, yes, but if you call for a car full of your friends armed with MP5s, and if I call for a car full of your friends carrying MP5s, who are they going to go to first?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, I didn't actually say that, but that was what I was thinking.
Yeah. They're real big on
that. There's kind of like a self-defense subculture in England going on now with, like, you know, fighting sticks and that sort of thing. But it's all very hush-hush because you can get in trouble for it.
The furniture.
I mean, yeah, you can definitely learn, you know, Krav Maga or something like that.
Right.
And the law on self-defense is not as unreasonable as the tabloids would like you to have you believe.
Okay. Good to know.
They will generally look to see if, I mean, if somebody's got a shotgun and they defend themselves with that, as I mean, a lot of people do, especially in the country, then they will probably look to see if most of the wounds are in the front of the goblin or the back, you know.
Wow.
And you don't get the thing where the police look and they say, nice grouping, and then walk away. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Unfortunately, you know. Yeah.
I did actually pick up a news report. I think it was from Alabama, where the cop actually did say that they made a note to the reporters that the person did have a very good grouping on the. It was a carjacker, and he got lit up by a woman who was riding in the car. And the guy pointed out the fact that, man, those rounds were all nice and close together. And they all, every single round landed on target. I'm like, he actually said nice grouping. This is a real thing.
And a lot of I read a lot of British police blogs, and most of them definitely want to be armed now. And they think it's strange if you comment and say, "Okay, I can as well. That's fine."
Yeah. Well, that's interesting though, because I mean, how long have handguns been outright banned? in England.
That was that's in my lifetime. I mean, that's not more than about 25 years ago.
Right, right. But things are going in the other direction. Like, they banned all handguns. Shouldn't it be safer?
Yeah.
that's what we hear over here, is that, oh, we have to make this illegal so that it'll be safer.
Right.
But again, Jay, it alludes to your point. I don't know if this was intentional, but alludes to your point earlier, is the fact that it's been what, 20 years since, or how long has it been? I mean, since the Brady Bill, it's been, what, 20 years?
Close. 18.
That was 94?
Yep. Yeah. So
Brady was 93.
I mean, we're getting very, very close to a full generation since the, you know, those things and
November 93.
Yeah, and soon enough it'll be a full generation since the worm turned and everyone's been gathering guns and talking about the Second Amendment in a serious sense, because of course before the 1960s nobody really gave a shit about the Second Amendment. It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
It was taken for granted. I mean it was
one of those things of like, you know, it seems strange, but George W. Bush is one of the most pro-gun presidents we've ever had. And it's not because he was particularly pro-gun. It was just that it was never a political issue.
Keep in mind, until 1968, you could order guns through mail order catalogs.
Right.
Yep.
I remember in my lifetime being able to walk in a friggin' service merchandise, a general purpose store, and buy a rifle.
Oh, yeah. Every department store and auto parts store and hardware store just about had sold at least 22s.
I have a Montgomery Ward shotgun.
Yep.
And Woolworths, several.
Even Woolworths had 22s.
Yep, that's right. I have some Sears.
Yeah, the Five and Dime sold little rifles and shotguns and stuff.
Don't have a Ted Woods.
But the thing goes is the fact that there's a whole generation of people. There's a bunch of people that are 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 in the UK who have no recollection of any time when anybody could legally own a handgun. And that really
that does
an absolute lot for the perception. Is somebody suddenly says, well, I'd really want a handgun, that seems strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the same way as, you know, I heard about, you know, a friend of mine was saying that he was working at a vet and somebody brought in an ocelot. It's just like, why would anyone want a pet ocelot?
Seems rather dangerous.
It seems dangerous and strange.
Well, I mean, when I got my first concealed carry permit, it was 1994. And that was, I like to tease poor Alan about this, but it was actually before Texas legalized concealed carry. And at the time, people were like, you have a permit to carry? Like at three heads. Now, I mean, it's Massachusetts. They still look at you that way. But at the time.
Not so much anymore, Jay.
True. It has gotten better even here in Mass. But like even among people in New Hampshire, like you want, why would you want to carry a gun? Why? I don't know. So, why do you put your seatbelt on? You planning on getting into a crash?
You get that asked everywhere though.
Yep.
Yeah. I just think that's you know, are you expecting trouble? No. If I was expecting trouble, I wouldn't leave the house.
Yeah.
We're about out of time. Thanks for calling in, Phil. Thanks for being our first international caller.
And popping off international show.
Warm reception.
Yeah, we certainly enjoy hearing from you.
Oh, shucks. As I believe you stay over there, I don't know.
Let us know next time you're coming over here. We'll try to have a giant meetup or something.
Bring Spotted Dick.
Yeah.
Bring Spotted Dick.
And Marmite.
No, that's Australian.
No, a Bovril. I want to try this
Bovril. Australian Marmite we have.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I want digestive biscuits. Phil knows what those are, don't you, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Digestive biscuits, they're good.
What's a digestive biscuit?
It's like a cookie. It's actually like a kind of like a oatmeal cookie, but it's like, you know, oatmeal, fiber, digestive biscuit. You can get them with or without chocolate. They're excellent.
How does it compare to Spotted Dick?
I have never had Spotted Dick.
I did, but a shot cleared it up.
Oh, okay. Are we done now?
Yeah, Alan, if you weren't going to pick that one up, yeah. I sure was.
Anyway, thanks. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a good night. Bye.
Yeah. You too. I mean, it's actually nice for you now, Chuck.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Bye. More.
Oops.
Keep doing that. Oh, well. We should make it our trademark.
Cut them off before they... well, anyway, that's about it. And we had an awesome call from merry old England to finish us off. I'm going to move this weekend, and I'm sick, so yay me. Next
moving
week.
Again?
Yeah, I'm moving to it. It's a different apartment in the same place.
Ah, okay.
It's more rooms. Anyway.
Does this one have a hot tub?
Does it have its own shooting range?
Well, they have a jacuzzi tub, yeah.
Eat.
Yeah.
Party at Alan's house.
Is there room enough in it for two, Alan?
If you're not too big, yeah.
I'll be right over.
No. It won't fit. You and somebody else, maybe, yeah. Bring your wife. Y'all can share.
We can
Alan
share you.
Go to a movie.
No.
Wow. Alan's offering a swap party.
That's right. We're gonna tag team Alan.
Jesus. Okay. Let's go. Okay.
On that note.
Anyway, next week, Thursday night, night, same time, new night, Thursday night.
All the vicious circle a whole night earlier.
Sports report.
I was wondering if anybody gets that.
Damn it. Yeah. Thursday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Bring your spotted guests.
7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. I don't think we have anybody on the West Coast. I know we have Kevin. I think he's on Mountain Time, but I don't think we have any.
We have people in Washington who listen.
Kevin Bacon.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh.
What about Appalachian Time?
That's East Coast.
Appalachian time.
That's 100 years ago.
Is there some sort of weird isolated time zone in the United States?
There's a state that doesn't change time zones.
Indiana. Arizona, right?
Arizona.
Indiana.
They don't do daylight savings time, so they kind of flip back and forth. So, anyway, like I said, next week, Thursday. Put it on your calendar. Thursday.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have more people that can listen because it's not on Friday. Apparently some people like to have lives on Friday. I don't even understand that. I don't understand it either, but
no.
Anyway.
Okay. Have a good week, everybody.
Yep. See y'all.
Good night. Time.
Bye.
Ciao.
I'm hanging up. Good night.
That's a lackluster ending. Jeez.
Jeez, oh man. Good night, everybody.
All right. Bye.